Right now, license plate readers are, the data in that program are being collected under a temporary classification. We tried to pass legislation last year, it passed through the House, it's sitting in the Senate. Time and time again, we are behind the curve in implementing policy that ends up causing a lot of confusion. This commission would be able to meet, hear both sides of the issue, take some time. For years I've served on the Data Practices Subcommittee and the Civil Law Committee, and quite frankly, we at times will hear 8, 10, 12 bills in 2 or 3 hours and not really have the time necessary to do the thoughtful consideration of the ramifications of these types of policies. It's usually a balance between an individual's right to privacy and a public good, whether that be safety or public health. And I believe that the best public policy in this area is made after weighing all the options and some thoughtful consideration with people that have some knowledge in the area. And so putting this commission together would hopefully move towards those goals. And as far as the fiscal note goes, we would be on the low end of the spectrum. I've had a conversation with the speaker. He's supportive of the bill and is willing to use existing funds in the House budget. Not sure whether LCC or just general House committee budgets to support this.
Okay, and I think the dollar amount they've talked about is $29,000, but what my notes show. Any questions of Representative Holder? And for those of you, several of you came in after the motion was made, but it's for a presentation and discussion, and then it'll be laid over for a possible inclusion in the omnibus bill. Well, I guess not then. So the chair lays it over for possible inclusion. That's House File 2120.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and committee.
Good. Okay. Good.
Representative Pawlowski.
Hi, I sent you the. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members of the committee, I'll move House File 3144. House File 31.
This is for presentation and discussion as well.
That's correct. Yes.
Hey, Representative Pawlowski.
This converts one-time money into a base adjustment for MNSCU. This is a reflection of the way the higher ed budgets have been presented to the legislature over the last decade, and it has taken us 10 months to clarify that what was presented to committee looked like it was new money for a new project, and MNSCU has finally admitted and convinced us that this was supposed to be ongoing money for future contractual and operational expenses. So this will address that concern, and also with the bill that was passed in 2013, budgets will no longer be presented in this fashion. We will know from the minute the bill is introduced and presented to us exactly what is ongoing and what is meant to be one time.
Okay, are there any questions of Representative Pawlowski? And the amount is in the budget resolution at $17 million.
Mr. Chair, that is correct.
Representative Holder.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Representative Pawlowski, why the $3 million difference? Did this contract actually start into the first year of the biennium? Is that the reason? Or
Mr. Chair, Representative Holberg, you raise one of the more interesting dilemmas here. This was presented in such a way that it was grouped in three areas. The other two areas were to equipment leverage and internships. So we never got to see exactly what this was for, other than what they had loosely called faculty retention. Now it's clear that they were using the money because of contractual obligations and operational expenses. And frankly, that's gone down over the past 10 months. So it's a reflection of the fact that it's actually been a little bit cheaper than it would have been initially. And this is another reason why we need hard numbers up front, and we need to know whether it's ongoing or one time.
All right, thank you.
Any further discussion? This will probably be the shortest article in the bill, right, Representative?
Mr. Chair, members, these two sentences took us 10 months to work.
Okay. Do you have a question?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. And Representative Pawlowski, this doesn't include the inter-faculty organization as well. Is that potentially another bill that we'll have to address in the future?
Mr. Chair, members, this includes all the contractual obligations that are still open for MNSC. That would include the inter-faculty organization.
Okay, thank you. Any further discussion? Seeing none, then House File 3144 is laid over for inclusion in the Omnibus Supplemental Finance Bill.
Thank you, members.
Thank you. And I see Representative Earhart is here now, so we'll revert back to the first one on the agenda. Representative Hornstein.
Mr. Chair, I would move that House File 1796, the second engrossment, be recommended to be placed on the general register.
And Representative Earhart.
Morning, Mr. Chairman and members. What this bill does is attempt to arrest the carnage on our highways and the work zones where workers are being picked off from time to time, and we want to give them a fair and equitable chance to live out a healthy life, as any worker should. And what it does is prohibit cell phone use in the work zone when workers are present. Sets a fine, $300 fine amount for traffic violations in work zones, including flagger violations and speed, and allocates the fine revenue to a new workforce zone safety account that can be used for further education of the great masses that travel our highways, that they are going to be abruptly slowed down and have to throw their cell phones out the window when they get to a work zone if their workers are present. Sets a default speed limit of 45 miles an hour in some highway work zones when workers are present, and adjusts the conditions when a worker present speed limit in a work zone can be established without an engineering study. Essentially, it's up the awareness of people that by fine and by signage that there is a problem in speeding and not obeying the rules in a work zone when the workers are present, and also eliminates all uses of cell phones in work zones when the workers are present.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I don't have a question about the fiscal note, but in transportation policy, there were two concerns expressed, and I don't see an amendment here. The issue of using cell phones passively as a like a Garmin or a navigation device, if there was a resolution on that, and then also whether or not fines for cell phone use could be imposed if there wasn't notice that workers were present.
I think that's covered under another section that is referred to in this bill, and I don't know if is there somebody from the transportation, Matt Burris or someone who explained this at one time.
Well, Mr. Chair,
Representative Holder.
Matt Burris testified for us in our committee that, in fact, definition of a cell phone use did include. If you were using it for navigation, and the discussion was around that it would be more distracting to turn it off and on and reprogram a destination than just let it sit, similar to those that had navigation systems installed in their cars.
I see Pat Burst coming forward. Did you hear the question? If you could identify yourself for the record.
Mr. Chair and members, Matt Burris with House Research. To the questions on cell phone use, in the bill there's a new prohibition being created on using a cell phone whether handheld or hands-free while in a work zone. There were a couple of questions raised in a previous committee about the scope of that. Ultimately, that would probably require a court case and a court decision. One of the factors that a court might take a look at is the placement of the cell phone prohibition in statutes, and right now that's placed into a section that includes that currently involves a wireless communication device ban. That ban is on all use of wireless communication devices, and the way that section of law is structured is to provide an exemption or exclude devices that are being used for GPS navigational components. So what I've attempted to do in the policy committee and what I'm trying to convey here is a little bit of what the court might take a look at in the context of determining whether passive navigational use of a cell phone would be part of the ban that's being imposed under this. And the structure of the wireless communication device ban is such that there's an argument that active discussion on a cell phone would fall into this ban, but more passive use of a cell phone for other navigational purposes wouldn't necessarily fall into the prohibition.
Well, Mr. Chair and Representative Earhart, given that testimony, is it your intent that it would still be okay to use a cell phone passively for a navigation device while in a work zone?
Well, Mr. Chairman and Representative Holberg, some states are reaching beyond where we are, and this might be a good chance to let people know that we don't want them using cell phones in any manner, texting, talking, or whatever. I thought the question previous was on GPS devices that were integral to the car. And maybe I misunderstood that. But.
No. Well, Mr. Chair, I think we still have a little bit of confusion, and rather than having a court decide if it is the intent of the author that somebody could leave their phone on as a navigation device in a work zone in a passive manner, that maybe that should be included in the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I can just relate in California where they have they aren't allowed to use cell phones, but there if it is speaking to you, that doesn't. I mean, I don't know if other states and how they have interpreted our precedent, but if it's literally a navigation device, you pre-program it, and it's just speaking to you, say turn right, turn left. That meets the test in California, which I personally experienced. So I don't know whether other states experience who are a little bit ahead of us on this is relevant.
Representative Anderson. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Earhart, if we're not allowed to use our cell phones for navigational purposes, which is something that people tend to do when they meet a construction zone and are trying to find an alternative path, are they then allowed to use a map or an atlas and unfold that map and page through that map? Or is that still allowed, or does your bill cover that as well?
Well, Mr. Chairman and Representative Anderson, I think that you ought to try that for a while and unfold your map and hold it up in front of you as you're driving and look at the map instead, because I think we'll find some way to grab you and find you.
Mr. Chair?
Representative Anderson.
So, Representative Earhart, so you're saying that people never use maps when they are driving in any way, shape, or form? Is that your assessment?
Well, Mr. Chairman and Representative Anderson, do you read a book or the newspaper when you're driving? That's clearly not a good idea.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Representative Bloom.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Earhart, I just a question on the, there's a provision in the bill that if you are not necessarily the driver, but you own the car, or you are the lessor of the car, that you could be subject to a misdemeanor for this. Is that a precedent that exists elsewhere in our laws with regards to motor vehicles, and the owner is liable even if that's not the person driving?
Gregory, I can't vote for this.
Mr. Burris, and by the way, I said Burns earlier, but Mr. Burris.
Mr. Chair, no problem. Again, Matt Burris with House Research. Mr. Chair and members, I believe the reference is to the violations of the directions of a work zone flagger, and the penalty level that's set in that is a petty misdemeanor. That's on page 3, paragraph D, so lines 3.22 and on 3.23, 3.24. This is somewhat parallel to a school bus stop arm violation law that's currently in place, where a school bus driver is authorized to identify school bus stop arm violators, and then peace officers have probable cause for 4 hours beyond the time of the violation to cite someone for a violation of having, you know, gone around a stop arm on a school bus.
Mr. Chairman, is there any reason we should be discussing these odd amount things here when we should be talking about finance of the bill here? Isn't that the purpose of this committee, or no?
We do take some liberty with questions for clarification of the bill. Representative Lindblom.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Mr. Burris and Representative Earhart. So, Mr. Burris, just for your example then, so under the school bus stop arm situation, if the school bus driver reports that a car did not obey when the stop arm was down, went by the school bus, law enforcement is able to track down that vehicle through the plates, I assume, to the owner, and that owner is then perhaps liable for the violation, or they have to identify who was driving their car at the time, and this would be similar to what's proposed in Representative Earhart's bill. Am I understanding that correctly?
Mr. Chair, Representative Loon, yes, there is a similar provision where liability can apply to the owner of the vehicle as opposed to the driver in that law.
Okay, Representative Abler.
Well, thanks, Ed. I'll ask a money question. Usually I agree with my friend, Mr. Representative Earhart, on a lot of things. I'm not as excited about the cell phone thing as he apparently is. But so they're going to have some citations. Do you know how much we're going to raise from those citations? From people who forget to turn off their GPS or whatever when they're driving through here.
Well, let Mr. Mark speak, because he's probably got a copy of the fiscal note.
Mr. Chair, members, if you look in the fiscal note on page 4, about in the middle of the page, it's showing the revenue for a special revenue fund, and the estimate is 360 convictions at $300 each, which would be $108,000.
Okay, so about one a day. And so that we would, Mr. Chair, I don't know, would that be every year they expect that, or would it kind of taper off over time? Or
Mr. Chair, Representative Abler, this is an annual figure, yes.
And Mr. Chair and Representative Earhart, I don't get to serve on your committee, so that's why we're asking some of these questions. But I was late, but maybe have you already answered? Is there a problem with specific to work zones that makes you single out work zones compared to freeways about injuries? Somebody was tragically killed, I know, but it wasn't because of a cell phone. But was there other cases like this?
Well, I don't. You know, I didn't come prepared to go through the whole bill. But if you want to back up and you got a half hour, I'll wheel out all the statistics I've read on it. I'd be happy to do that. But approximately 21% of 1,200,000 accidents in 2011 were caused by cell phone usage. Okay. Right. According to the national safety things.
All right, Mr. I'm happy to use numbers in his answer, so I'm good. Thanks.
And this, just as a clarification, I think this is the direction Representative Earhart was going. This was heard, and both transportation policy and finance, or transportation. So it has been through both your committee and Representative Hornstein's committee.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, and we did it twice in my committee, because once we did it before we could take any action.
Okay. Representative Houseman.
I just wanted to support the author, because I was in one of the committees, and it is the workers who were represented in the room. They brought the strong testimony. And here's the bad news about drivers. He actually had another piece in this bill originally, which was cameras, because they don't pay any attention, drivers don't pay any attention to signs or flaggers. And so that's why people are being killed, hurt, and killed. And they did find if there was a camera, they actually paid attention. Then people would slow down. Well, he took that out because you know how controversial that is. I don't happen to agree with that. But the point is, he already has stepped away from one compelling thing that would help people obey the law. They're not obeying the law. It is a bill brought on behalf of the workers who literally, in large number, are being injured and killed.
Okay. See no further discussion, Representative Hornstein. Excuse me, Representative Mahoney. I was about to go to a vote. Sorry, Representative Mahoney.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Representative Earhart. I've never done freeway. I've never worked on a construction crew on a freeway, but I've had a wonderful driver about 3 inches from me at about 35 miles an hour in downtown St. Paul. On a city street. So would this bill have penalized someone on a city street also rather than just freeways?
Well, Mr. Chairman, Representative Mahoney, I think it applies to any work zone.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I've made this point at the other hearings, and I'll make it again. The studies are pretty clear. And there's many, many of them, that talking on a cell phone is the equivalent of 0.08 alcohol inebriation. So I strongly support this bill, and I think hopefully as things progress over time here in this legislature, we'll be a little more open to what Representative Houseman described they're doing in other states. So this is a step forward, but talking on a cell phone is dangerous while driving, and people shouldn't do it.
Okay, would you care to renew your motion?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would renew my motion that House File 1796, the second engrossment, be recommended to be placed on the general register.
Okay, any further discussion? Seeing none then, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed?
No.
Motion carried.
Well, thank you very much. I see we have a lot of killers in here and who are not interested in real safety.
Really?
Oh, no, I'm sorry.
The bill is passed. We're now on the next bill that's before us. Thank you, Representative Earhart. Representative Poppe, House File 2538.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. I'd like to move House File 2538 for presentation and discussion.
And if you could explain the bill.
Be happy to. House File 2538 is the Farm to Food Shelf to Families bill. It appropriates $1.5 million to the Department of Ag annually as a pass-through grant to Second Harvest Heartland Food Bank. Second Harvest Heartland would administer the program, and the funds would be used to marginally cover the cost to farmers, growers, and processors to harvest and package food, allowing for the transportation of that excess and imperfect but edible food, fruits and vegetables, to food shelves across the state. This comes at a time when there may be an oversupply of the fruits and vegetables, or there may be just an imperfection. Perhaps the cucumbers that they have grown have a little bit too much of a curvature to them, and so they're not able to be sold in stores. So it allows for many millions pounds of fruit to be used by people throughout the state. So I appreciate your consideration.
Okay, any discussion on the bill? Okay, well, seeing none, then this one is laid over for inclusion in the omnibus bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members.
That was tough. Representative Clark.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd like to move House File 2246.
For presentation and?
And discussion.
Discussion, okay. Representative Clark.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman and members, this bill just moves the actual appropriation that was already passed last year for housing for high-risk adults coming out of prison from one place in the Minnesota Housing Finance Agency where it's not working so well into be a general appropriation through a grant in the same housing finance agency. And it has to do with making sure we have the proper incentives that are in the budget. As it was originally passed, it was not ever in the housing trust fund. So this puts it back to work where it will really provide the incentives for these people coming out of prison, men coming out of prison, to be able to get their jobs, get good housing, and actually be able to earn more money and not be penalized for it. If you want any more information on it, I can go over it. But it's the last year of a 6-year pilot project, and we just want to finish it with the appropriate efficiencies.
Okay. Any discussion, Representative Abler?
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair, and I wish this were a policy committee. We could discuss some of the merits of this organization and some of the good work they've done. Minnesota is a state that believes in rehabilitation, and the best result of a prison and a penal experience is that people get rehabilitated and learn their lessons and go about their way, and this is a way to move them on and to help these individuals get stable housing and then get a job. And I've just been so impressed. I don't know how long I've known these folks, but they are really doing something good. And well, I don't know the bill where they're moving money around at, but the dollars they get, they spend well, and it's a good investment. So thank you, Mr. Chair.
Okay, any further discussion? Representative Kamer.
Mr. Chair, I'm sorry, I must have missed it. So what program is the
network?
It is the network?
Yes, it is the network. It's called Better Futures.
Okay, does that have some payment provide to it? Okay, any further discussion? Okay, well, seeing none, then this one, House File 2246, will be laid over for inclusion in the Omnibus Supplemental Finance Bill. I've got that takes
care
of the agenda for today with the exception of some housekeeping, but I waited until we were at full strength for a few of the announcements, but as I mentioned at the beginning, the plan is to hear the various Finance Committee reports and then lay them over for inclusion in the omnibus bill that will be before us next Monday. And we started today with some of the easier ones, so the more complex ones will be coming later in the week. We will be hearing next Friday, March 28th, following Finance Committees, Jobs, Transportation, Environment, and Natural Resources. We're going to move till Monday. We had talked about that being Friday, but we'll move that to Monday. Public Safety, and a bill from Representative Atkins. So those will be on Friday, and I might double check, because we moved Environmental Natural Resources, to see if one of the other accounts might be available that was originally scheduled for Monday. But if we leave it as planned, then Monday we would do K-12 Finance and Health and Human Services, and then we would take final action on the bill. Now, what my intent is that once we move an article for, lay it over for inclusion, unless there's housekeeping, we're basically done with it, and would hope that, or I would say we That's when we have the debate. So if you have amendments at that point in time, that's when to offer them, because when we put the bill before us, we'll assume that those articles are done and complete, unless there happens to be from Mr. Marks or some of the research folks some housekeeping amendments that would have to be done. But the idea then of the work today, Friday, and initially on Monday is to be done with the article and then create the omnibus bill. And the omnibus bill or the vehicle will be House File 3172. And with that, Representative Holbert.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, then, for those components that we're going to consider on Friday, will they be available to the public on Wednesday so we might have time to do amendments and get them in on Thursday? Or
They should be available. Let's see, is there any problem with that? Okay. A number of them are coming to us on Thursday is what she just said. So amendments early on Friday. We won't impose a 24-hour rule. But you'll be familiar with the reports, you know, as they're coming out, or your staff should be from the various finance committees.
If you might, if you could let maybe Craig Stone know the bill numbers that are coming out of the committee so that we can kind of track and begin to prepare amendments if we need for Friday.
You'll see from the minutes and the, you know, what the various finance committees are reporting out, but we'll follow that up as well. Representative Abler.
Well, thanks, Mr. Chair. Are these going to be bills that are specifically coming from committees? They're not going to be just amendments.
They're bills.
Laid over. Okay. So we're doing our omnibus.
Just like today, Representative Abler, where we had bills before us.
Yeah.
And we laid those bills over for inclusion, with one exception was Representative Holberg's bill. If you listen to what I said possible inclusion.
Right.
We'll talk about whether that one is included or goes separate. But the others that were before us today, with the exception of Representative Earhart's bill that went right to the floor, the others are all bills that are going to become articles in the omnibus bill.
So hopefully for the, Mr. Chair, so hopefully for the public, they'll be available online. People could scrutinize those and have advice. Thank you.
Okay, any other questions? Anything else that we need to order? Well, this Friday, not next Friday. Okay. The 28th. Yeah. Okay. And then we have the minutes before us. Representative Paymar, you look like you're ready to make a motion. Okay, Representative Paymar is making a motion to approve the minutes. That motion is before us. Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Those were the minutes for March 17th. With that, meeting adjourned.